Do it.
Welcome back to the 312 show. I am your host, Ollie Katz, here alongside Zach Joshua. Let's get this cracking. We're back after a long hiatus.
We're back, baby.
We have a very special guest. You all know him. You all love him, Mr. Trevor Boyd. Say what's up, Trevor.
What's going on, guys? It's my third time back, right? Happy to be back.
Yeah. Happy to have you. Happy to have you. It's always a treat to have you on. We are going to talk some Chicago sports. We're going to talk some global sports as well as just everything that comes up. You guys know it's always fun to have Trevor on. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Yeah, so I think we should start off with some football talk. You know, it's playoff time, you know. We all know what happened this past round. You got, you know, Tom Brady just showing that he's the greatest of all time. And, you know, the Bills look real good too. Tough loss for the Brownies. Ollie, I know that was heartbreaking. A few questionable calls there. Mahomes got hurt. You know,
I'd like to use my platform on that. We can circle back to it. But let's start off. I mean, great weekend of sports all around. Sure.
A lot of big moments,
a lot of controversy, but nonetheless, a great weekend of football. We had, obviously, on Saturday, starting off with the Packers and the Rams. What are your guys' takes on that? The Packers looked pretty damn unbeatable in that game.
Unreal. I mean, you know, growing up here, born and raised here, I never wanted to give the Packers any credit. I never want to give Aaron Rodgers any credit, but I don't think anybody's messed with him. He's probably the most talented quarterback we've ever seen, even at his age right now. And he's really proving it. He's proving it right now. And I'm excited to see the game next week, Brady versus Rodgers, and see how that turns out at Lambeau. But they show that offense is super dominant this weekend.
Yeah, as a Bears fan as well, I hate saying that they're good and that I think they're gonna win and that Rodgers is playing out of his mind. Like, I hate to admit it, but you gotta give credit where credit's due. You gotta admit that he's the MVP. You gotta admit that Davante Adams is the best, if not, you know, top three at least. Wide receiver in the league. You gotta give credit to Aaron Jones. You gotta give credit to everyone on that team. They're a great team. You know, they look unbeatable. They're going to have a test with the Buccaneers, who look hot right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But, yeah, it's gonna be a fun game. That's going to be, I think, better than the Saints-Buccaneers game.
Hot take here. Nobody's going into Lambeau and beating the Packers.
Okay.
It's going to be tough. And, you know, These NFC teams, you know, the Bears division with the Packers, Lions, and Vikings. It's one thing they got all in common, and they can play in any weather condition.
Yep, you know? That's true.
And I feel like Brady, he said his blood's gotten thin because he's been in Florida, you know, enjoying the warm weather. But, you know, when you go to Green Bay.
Man, he played 20 years in Foxborough. I think he can handle the cold. I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, that was my philosophy. But I mean, this Packers team, I know it's Tom Brady. He's far and away the best playoff performer of all time. We can all agree on that.
Yep.
But I mean, this is Lambeau Field. This is the freezing cold, and this is Aaron Rodgers. Yes, it's Tom Brady. Yes, he's awesome. Yes, he's a fantastic young team with he's got a perfect amount of weapons and the defense is good, but they look too good.
Look, man, Aaron Rodgers has played 5 NFC Championship games. And this is the first one at Lambeau.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I really think that the Bucs need to be on their A game, and you know, they just got to hope for a major league collapse, because there's no way in my mind that I could see them going in there and taking that win.
No. Yeah, and I was just gonna say, you know, if you're gonna see a Buccaneers win, the only way that happens is if Rodgers throws an interception or two.
Yep.
100%. Against the Saints. The only reason they won is was off of turnovers. If their defense yep. doesn't get turnovers, they lose. It's a you know it's a turnover based defense for sure. And they squeaked by with four was it four turnovers?
Yep.
It was four.
A fumble and three picks.
Yeah. Yep. They squeaked by. Like normally if you get four turnovers, you're and especially on that side of the field, they were like within the 50-yard line. You're going and scoring, you know, but I just don't see Rodgers making a mistake like that. And especially in the playoffs, you're seeing these guys throw less deep balls. You know, they're playing more conservatively.
Right.
But, you know, it's going to be a great game, though.
Let's move to our next time slot. We have one that doesn't really need much conversation. It was a very one-sided affair, but we can talk about it a little bit. We have the Bills and the Ravens.
I mean, you can trash on Lamar Jackson all you want. That dude's a dog. He's a good guy, but you know you got to be able to throw the ball. I'm not big on like the talk that he's not a quarterback because you know he's an MVP and you know all that stuff. And it's becoming a running game, you know, more dual threat. But you know sometimes you just have off games, and it's hard against the Bills too. You know, Josh Allen, dude's got a cannon.
Yep.
And I feel like Lamar Jackson was a little fatigued too. You know, I feel like he's gotten. He did
have to play his heart out against the Titans. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So I think my biggest takeaway was watching this game, this divisional round, was just the chemistry between Diggs and Allen. I mean, Diggs, we know he's a dog, and we know he's had big playoff moments. But, you know, he didn't have the best game. It's not like he had a bad game, but he just didn't do a lot in that wild card round. But this past game he came out and he looked fierce, man, and those two together is a really good combination. So I don't think, you know, depending on we don't even know what's up with Mahomes, you know, we don't know what's up with the protocol, but I feel like that team could go to Kansas City and win next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean, their offense, let's talk about their offense for a second. They have some of the best chemistry I've seen between a wide receiver and a quarterback, I think, ever.
Most definitely, yeah.
I mean –
and this is their first year together, too. Don't forget that.
It blows my mind. I mean, I guess it's a perfect recipe to work. Diggs is a deep threat, and Allen has an amazing arm.
Yep.
But – the fact that this is their first season playing together, they haven't even played a full season together, and, you know, they're looking like they can go into Arrowhead and just whoop up on the Chiefs is insane.
Definitely is.
And their defense, not to mention, they're showstoppers. I mean, they can hang with any offense. They've proved it. In that Ravens game, I know Lamar got hurt, but up until that point, the defense was in on every play. Mm-hmm. They were dominant, and when they had the backs against the wall, they came out with a huge, huge play, obviously with the 101-yard pick six.
Yep.
Yeah, you know that guy that got the pick six was the guy in the combine, the defensive
back.
Who got hit in the head in that video.
Yeah, I remember that.
I thought that was awesome. Like, full circle. And going back to it, I compare the Chiefs to Alabama. Like, if you're not prepared to go shot for shot, score for score, you're not going to win. You cannot settle for field goals in that game.
Yep.
It's just like that national championship game. There were no field goals because you know Alabama's just going to go down and score. So you got to expect for it to be a shootout. Maybe it's not because, you know, Mahomes, he's maybe a little banged up. We don't really know. I think he's going to play. I know he's still on the protocol, but I think he should play. And you know, they just have weapons, and you know, it's not even Tyreek Hill. They still have arguably the second fastest receiver in the NFL in Mecole Hardman.
Right.
Yep.
Like,
still got Sammy.
Sammy.
Yeah, they got Watkins back this week too.
Yep.
Yeah, Pringle, that dude, and then you got some elite running backs.
Yep.
If Clyde Edwards-Helaire can come back, there's a slight chance that he can, then they look pretty good.
Yeah, and also Lev Bell. You know that dude's just going to go play.
Of course.
Here's what I'll say.
Kelsey either.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even mention the best tight end in the world right now.
Of course.
I mean, I've never seen a tight end break ankles like that.
I mean,
let alone catch for 1,400 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, he's incredible. He's incredible. He's one of the most incredible players I've ever seen.
Yep. Mm-hmm. One thing I'll say, this morning I read an article about what Patrick Mahomes needs to do in order to play. That concussion protocol is pretty lengthy.
It's serious. No joke.
It's no joke. And I know he's tough as nails, but the dude was shaken up. I mean,
definitely
he was plain.
Oh, he couldn't get up.
It was plain to see he could not stand on his own after the immediate contact. Whether that means that he can, like, physically will not be able to pass concussion protocol is yet to be seen to me. Patrick Mahomes can clearly do anything, as we've seen time and time again. But that it's a lot of stuff he's got to do to be able to be stable to play on next weekend, but let alone take them past the Bills.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, obviously, you don't wish injury upon anyone, but for the Bills, I mean, I saw something about Mahomes. He has the most amount of first downs on third and longs running the ball than any other quarterback in the
league. He's automatic.
I mean, this dude, if he doesn't have anyone open and you're playing great defense, it's a first down.
Yep.
So I think, you know, he's going to be a little scared maybe or a little – because you're not winning that game with the – with the backup. What's Chad Henne, something like that? Yeah. Henne, he's great. What he's a veteran guy, but I feel like you can't go out without Mahomes. So
the only person that can beat the Bills right now is Rodgers and Mahomes. And if they don't have Mahomes, then they don't have a win.
Yeah. I mean, you saw it against the Browns.
Yep.
That's our next slot. Here we go. We'll make this short and sweet.
Why don't I ask you, Ollie?
Okay.
Obviously, you know, I texted you after the game. You know, I made sure you were okay. Obviously, rough loss. I know you weren't expecting much. That was definitely exceeding your expectations.
Yeah.
But you gotta look at it this. This is the best we've seen the Browns in a while. And expectations are getting set. It's a complete culture change. And they're going to be an elite team next year in a struggling AFC division.
Here's what I'll say. We went into Pittsburgh and without a coach, without half of our team, and we won. We went into Kansas City not expecting anything. We had nothing to lose, and we fought, and we stayed in it until the very end. This Cleveland Browns team is setting an entirely new standard for football in Cleveland. You can say what you want about them. You can say that they have a long way to go, which they do. But regardless, an 11-5 season is a heck of a lot better than what we're used to. A coach of the year is a heck of a lot better than what we're used to. A quarterback with true promise is a heck of a lot better than what we're used to. Regardless of what you say about his inconsistency, he's a stud. He has the potential to be something special. Mm-hmm. Now, what do I think that this team is ready to win a Super Bowl as it is? No, absolutely not.
Close.
We're getting there. I mean, we got to have a good offseason. That's rule number one. But you know, I just think like it was a great effort by my guys. It's a great effort by my guys. Trevor, I think you're muted, or your mic's not working.
Yeah, I think we'll go on next. And any other takes about the Browns?
As far as who we should draft, we have to go all defense. Our offense is set. We have no reason to not keep Odell at the moment. I like a lot of guys. I like from Notre Dame, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. I like James Skalski from Clemson for a future piece. I like –
he's staying.
Yeah, I saw that. as is Nolan Turner. So that Clemson defense is still going to be intact, but for the future, he could be a potential linebacker. That's what we need it. Olivier Vernon, as good of a season as he had, you know, Goodson, Taki, as good as a season as they had, and they were clutching big moments. They're not going to cut it. That our secondary is weak. Obviously, we're going to get some players back from injury, Grant Delpit, whatnot. But, you know.
Yeah, I've been talking with you about Odell. I think you guys should trade him. He's obviously great, but, you know, it gives Baker – you know, less pressure to like right. get him the ball. You said that most of his interceptions, like what do you have? How many interceptions do you have after Odell?
He had one interception.
Yeah. And before that, you know, four.
And then he threw one in the Chiefs game, which was two.
Yeah. So, you know, he's not forcing the ball to Odell. And, you know, right. I feel like they got a good wide receiver room around that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so moving on. Ollie, what you got for us?
So last game, obviously, we have Buccaneers-Saints. History in a football game. Two of the best quarterbacks to ever face off. Tom Brady, Drew Brees. Drew Brees obviously coming out and not playing his best. We saw it in last game, but we've also seen it recurring throughout the season. Drew Brees, it sucks. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's the all-time leader in passing yards. But he just didn't play his game. And they were in it. I mean, the rest of their team is solid. Offensive mm-hmm. line, one of the best. Defense is one of the best. But I don't know what happened with Drew Brees. He threw three interceptions. It's unacceptable. You can't win.
Yeah, you can't win like that for sure.
I mean, he kind of was lost there, and I never seen that.
Oh, either. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. A lot of miscommunication.
That Buccaneers defense was getting to him, and I never seen Brees ever play like that. He's always solid, mm-hmm. sturdy, and he just didn't look like he was playing his game. And that's, you know, a testament to how well the Bucs defense played. They got him off his game that much to force him to throw three picks. But if that's his last game, if that's the last image we see of Drew Brees, that's obviously going to go out. But, you know, that's how it goes.
It's tough.
Yeah, I think a lot of the mistakes were miscommunications from him and the receivers. It was interesting, though, him and Emmanuel Sanders really, you know, without, you know, the play of Michael Thomas, him and Emmanuel Sanders, like, looked like Diggs.
Yeah, they lit it up.
Yep.
Yeah, it was great.
And before we get off of this, I just want to give a shout out to Mike Thomas for playing with these injuries, because he has to, unfortunately, has to get surgery. So, you know, just a team-centered guy, wanted to get his quarterback back to the promised land.
He's definitely a generational talent.
Yeah. So, shout out.
Yeah, for sure. I think we can move on to basketball. Big basketball news. Huge. Right. You got James Harden teaming up with KD and potentially Kyrie. We'll get into Kyrie later.
I got some
opinions on that guy, that bum. Trev, well, I mean, we've seen two games from them, and they look like Curry and Klay. Awesome. They look like Jordan and Pippen. They look like Shaq and Kobe. What are you thinking of this?
They look unreal. They look unbelievable. I mean, first game, we saw him come out Saturday, or whatever day that was, against Orlando. Durant, 42. Harden, 32 points, triple-double. I mean, just effortlessly. It's like, you know, it's like I'm watching the 2012 Thunder again. I mean, I could not believe how fast they were able to gel on that court. And it's just, it's like they've been playing together, I mean, for the last 10 years. You know, it's like they didn't miss a beat. And then, seeing them last night go up against the Bucks, one of their biggest competitors in the East, and for them to grind that out, both of them had 30. I mean, they look unstoppable, even without defense, even without rebounding, even without a bench. Those two alone can get you all the way to the finals.
Absolutely. talk about another perfect storm. We get Allen and Diggs, but Kevin Durant, a generational scorer. He's unreal at putting the basketball in the hoop. And then we have James Harden, who is an elite slasher, an amazing shooter, and a phenomenal passer.
Yep.
And a good eater.
And a great eater.
That too. And I was just telling Zach yesterday, James Harden is unguardable. He's literally unguardable.
Unguardable.
Every trick in the bag he's got.
If you sag off, he's going to hit the three. If you're playing too close, he's going to go to the rim. And he's going to get fouled. Even if he doesn't, he's going to get fouled. He's
one of the best players I've ever seen.
Get to the line.
Yep.
So if you add that into a mix with a dynamic scorer in Durant and a guy, you know, potentially Irving, I mean, those three together is just unbelievable, and I'm excited to see them.
And Kyrie Irving, people underestimate. He's one of the best shot creators I've ever seen.
He is. He is. If he can play basketball, you know.
Right.
If
he plays basketball,
he should retire. He should retire. I'm agreeing with Stephen. I don't normally agree with Stephen A's like big, you know, crazy.
He's very radical. He's radical.
Yep.
But dude, this dude has got to leave. Like you can't get paid millions of dollars to sit on the bench, throw the freaking dirt on the court, you know, whatever he did, blessing the court. What is that? Like I'm not trying to
be disrespectful. I believe he saged the court.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all, but like what are you doing? Go play basketball. Like, I know he's doing great stuff for social justice, great stuff for all this. You know, no discrediting that, but you can do both. And I don't know if there's something going on.
Yep, basketball is a form of expression.
Yep, and Stephen A. said, you know, we can't act like he can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I mean, you know, look at everybody else. Look at LeBron. Look at every other player in the league that is passionate about something, and they're still going on the court and they're still playing. I mean, Kyrie lost out on $800,000 for missing two games. Think about that. So, like,
didn't need to happen.
We don't know where his priorities are. We have no idea.
Yeah. And back to Harden. I mean, this dude, you can tell he's happy because on the Rockets, like,
for sure,
it was getting to a point where he wasn't really trying, you know, all this stuff. I saw him. He had the one of the game winning shots, or he shot what would be like a, you know, game winner with some time left. He missed it, got the freaking rebound.
Yes,
and he followed his shot.
Instead of putting it up, this dude got it to KD.
We never see that. We never see that.
That effort by Harden, that made me a fan, like a big fan of his. Like that, he is in a great place. He loves it, and that he will go put effort and, you know, share the sugar, you know?
Here's what I'll say about that. Harden was very displeased in the exit of Mike D'Antoni, who Harden said it himself. He's his favorite basketball figure in the NBA. He loves Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni, he's one of the guys that taught him everything he knows. And him linking up with D'Antoni is perfect for him. That's what he needed. He's going to go out there and kill every night, and D'Antoni's going to be in his ear like he did in Houston. We saw the biggest progression of possibly any player during Harden's time in Houston. He came into that organization as a great role player from OKC. They made a finals, lost, unfortunately. He was a promising young talent, and he came into his own, and now he's an NBA star. And he credits Mike D'Antoni for that. And Mike D'Antoni, obviously being in Brooklyn with that phenomenal coaching staff, is unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, those mid-2000s Suns teams are some of my favorite of all time. So just seeing Amari and Steve Nash and D'Antoni all working on the same coaching staff is amazing. And we know D'Antoni is one of the greatest offensive minds we've ever seen. So, you know, I think he and Steve Nash are up for the challenge of designing an offense designed around, you know, three superstars, and I think they'll enjoy the ride. But it is really nice to see Harden and D'Antoni back together. And it's just exciting to see what they're gonna do.
Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna put out a prediction. We will play this back if the Nets, and I think when the Nets make the finals, Bruce Brown out of Miami will be in Maybe not the starting lineup, but this dude will get significant minutes in that finals. Watch out for Bruce Brown. This dude is an animal, and he is going to be huge for the Nets, who are kind of lacking depth right now. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, that's why, you know, a big conversation that's come up since this trade happened, this move happened, is, you know, who wins in a seven-game series between Lakers and Nets. I still have to take the Lakers. They're leading the NBA in defensive rating. They have one of the best benches in the league. And those are the two, I mean, factors of the Nets that they're lacking in. So as of right now, Tuesday, January 19th, I'm still taking the Lakers, but, you know, we'll see. With a dynamic offense such as Kyrie and Harden and Durant, you never know. But as of right now, I'll still take the Lakers.
So, Trevor, I got a loaded question for you. We're nearing a quarter way through the season.
Yep.
MVP race. Now, it's a tight one. There are five or six guys in that race that could legitimately win every single one of them. Who do you got?
If they are able to pick up the pace to start winning more games, I take Nikola Jokic. I mean, that guy. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. He's a triple-double watch every night. He does everything well. He's one of the – he might be the best passer in the NBA, and saying that as a big man is ridiculous. It's easy for him. It just looks so effortless. So hopefully Jamal Murray can pick it up. Hopefully that team can pick it up. They're 6-7, I think, right now. But if they go on a little winning streak in, you know, March, I think he has – I think he has it because he's amazing.
Yeah,
he's a basketball anomaly. It doesn't make any sense. He's incredible.
I got to agree with that. And what's a little disappointing is that Denver is not doing very well at this point in the season. Denver is a regular season team. And you want to know why? Because Denver is the hardest place to play.
Yep.
And you got to go in on a road trip into Denver, into the altitude, into the thin air. Regardless of if you're inside or not, it's tough to play. Altitude plays a big factor in sports. Altitude plays a big factor in everything you do. And Denver is, on any given night, the toughest place to play.
And they're one of the only true teams in the NBA with an actual home court advantage.
Yep, exactly. I completely agree with that. Mm-hmm. They're the only guys that are used to it. And having to go in there and win – it does not surprise me that over these years they've done so well in the regular season. Now, the question is, when can they pick up the pace? To me, I had the Nuggets again going to the Western Conference Finals. Just knowing how well they'd be seeded, assuming that they were going to do the same as last year. And so far they have not exceeded expectations as I had hoped. Nikola Jokic is phenomenal. He's one of the best players I've ever seen play basketball. But that team has got to pick it up.
I mean, just watching how they played in the bubble, I know they have the talent. And even though they were lacking two of their best players with Harris and Barton, having them back and them still not performing is kind of alarming. But I know that they can pick it up. I know they can.
Yeah, for sure. I hope you're right. That's a fun team. It's a fun team. Zach, you got anything?
Nothing on that. I can do a new NBA topic though, for sure. If you guys are down for
let's do it.
We're called the 312 show. So why not talk about the Bulls?
Yep.
And the fact that Zach LaVine is going to be an All-Star.
That dude is a killer.
And that Pat Will is going to be the next Kawhi.
Okay.
And Kobe White is decent. I don't really like anyone else on the team. I know Laurie's been playing decent. I think we need to make some moves in order to get to that next level. But there's some promise. We're winning games.
So let's play a little game here before you say anything. As Bulls fans, I want to know, expendable assets, who are the guys on your team that are there to stay that you want to see, and who are the guys that you think must be shipped out very soon because they do not work in the Billy Donovan new system?
Zach, I'll let you take this one first, bro.
All right. Stay, Patrick Williams, Zach LaVine. A hot Kobe White, you know, when he, because, you know, when he's cold, he's cold. Lauri Markkanen sometimes. And maybe this new guy, Garrett Temple.
Temple looks good.
I mean, he looks good. But the rest, Wendell Carter should have traded him for the Warriors. I know there was something about the second pick. Dude, if we had Wiseman.
We would be nuts. I'm telling you, we would be crazy.
Like,
that would be the new Shaq and Kobe.
James Wiseman is awesome. He's awesome. And he has Draymond Green in his ear. You know,
I love that. Yeah. You know,
what a win for the Warriors last night.
Yep.
Yeah. Back to the Bulls. Wendell Carter definitely gone. Otto Porter definitely gone, but you can't get rid of him with that freaking contract. And yeah, I don't really know. Like, the rest of these guys are interchangeable. You know, the bench. I think those are all guys that can leave at any time.
I think actually a guy that you didn't mention that I think we should keep around is Thaddeus Young. He seems to be a really good vet.
Yeah, missed him.
Solid production, and
him and LaVine got chemistry too.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, everything I've heard about him, he's a really good locker room guy. So I think keeping him around as, you know, our sturdy vet is good, him and Temple. But everybody else, I mean, you know, Hutchinson hasn't been able to stay on the floor.
Yeah.
He's shown promise. He's shown flashes.
Also Gafford. Well. I'm a big fan of Gafford.
Gafford is
nice. We do not play him as much. He should be starting over Wendell Carter.
He didn't play at all last year. I mean, that was one of the most frustrating things to me about Boylan's tenure. He did not play Daniel Gafford at all. But he's an energy guy. He's going to go out there and get boards, get rebounds.
Blocks.
I mean, get blocks, just do all the dirty work. And, you know, I think he deserves more time for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with you there. As far as guys I like Thad. I like LaVine and I like Williams. I think the rest of the guys are ready to be shipped out.
Hey, depending on the package that you get for them, you know, I think those couple guys that we keep around, but I think, you know, Ack is going to be aggressive at the trade deadline and make some moves for us. And whatever, you know, whatever he does, I'm cool with. I'm interested to see how he works. And, you know, I see promise with this team, though. Making more moves, bringing a couple more guys in. But this last West Coast road trip that we went on, the Bulls have been in every game. Besides, you know, the first two were like Atlanta or whatever, and the blowout against the Bucks. Lakers, Clippers, Trailblazers, Kings. I mean, all of them were close games. But it's this young team's inability to close games out is been why we're 6-8. But I think if they learn how to play together, we'll be solid.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I totally agree. All right. Let's transition a bit. That time of year is upon us. Baseball is almost here. We've been seeing it a lot in the news. Mm-hmm. We got the Cubs who are looking to clear house, it seems. Yeah. We have a few blockbusters already. What are you guys' thoughts?
You know,
the direction is unclear, but go ahead, Zach. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, I got to agree. The direction's a bit unclear. You know, Schwarber should have traded him day after the World Series.
Yep.
Could have gotten anybody in the American League or National League. John Lester, I really wish he retired a Cub. It's really sad to see him go and retire in a different uniform. I'm sure he will retire a Cub, give him a one-day deal or something like that.
For sure.
That number 34 needs to be retired for two people.
For sure.
That you know, John Lester, definitely the best. Definitely the best free agent signing we've had.
And that was the ball rolling for that team that went on that incredible run. So, you know, forever grateful for him. And
yeah.
Love him forever. He's a legend.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about what they're doing?
The Yu Darvish trade, I mean, you know, it doesn't make quite any sense at all to me. What the Cubs have been lacking since, I don't even know, the last maybe 3-4 years is pitching in the farm system. So you would think that trading away your ace, your runner-up in the Cy Young voting would get you back what you need in your farm system. But Jed Hoyer wants to trade him for 5 kids. Literally, these guys are 17, 18, 18, 18, and 20. Position players, not one pitcher besides Zach Davies. So that trade doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I like the signing that we just made the other day. We signed the number 6 prospect, the number 6 international prospect, which is cool. 5'2" player, shortstop, can play third base. That's cool, whatever. He's 18 years old. So I don't know what the Cubs are doing right now. It makes no sense to me. But in this super duper weak NL Central, I still think we are second place team. I mean, the Pirates just got worse. They got rid of Musgroves.
Yeah.
Got rid of Bell. You know, in Cincinnati, Luis Castillo's on the trade block, and Bauer, we know he's probably not coming back. Mm. And the Brewers don't have anything. So, you know, the Cubs can still compete, you know. And we had an extreme 2020 with just extreme horrible play from our best players. But if our guys hit, they can be all right. They can be okay. But, you know, it's just unclear to me the direction that the team's going this offseason.
And a bunch of guys we got out of free agency. We got, I think it was one day, like a month ago or maybe a couple weeks ago, we got like this group of guys, 3-4 guys, and all of them had – one of the best contact percentage in all of baseball. One of them actually had like the so good contact percentage that it was actually bad, like making contact out of the zone. But that's what we need. I mean, we strike out more than any team I've ever seen, and we swing at bad pitches more than any team I've ever seen. We got to put the ball in play, stop swinging for the home run, put the ball in play. Hitting's contagious. That's it. That's all I got to say about it.
We know that.
That's all I got to say on it. Yeah, I think we're all good. Any other thoughts, Trip?
I did want to get into the South Side, but we are running out of time. So
we got 2 minutes. We're good.
We can talk. 2 minutes? Okay.
Yeah, so let me give us a scoop. So 2 minute drill.
The Sox, man. What can I say? I couldn't be more excited about this team. You know, coming off third place in the Central, tough Central last year. But the guys show promise. I mean, you know, you have Jose Abreu, who is the MVP of the American League. He's incredible. We've known this. We've seen this, you know, for the past 8 years. He's been a member of the Sox. And, you know, to finally have a winning team around him is amazing. The three big additions that the Sox made this offseason are very exciting to me. Bringing back Adam Eaton, you know, a lefty guy who we desperately need, replacing Nomar Mazara in right field. Lance Lynn is another starting arm that we desperately needed out there.
Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to go follow us on Instagram @the312show. Thank you, Trevor, for coming on. You guys have a good one.